Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Instone Real Estate Q3 2020 results conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Sawazki, who will start the meeting today. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Burkhard Sawazki. Thank you for joining our Q3 earnings call. Our CEO, Kruno Crepulja, and our CFO, Foruhar Madjlessi, will walk you through our presentation and give you an update on our business performance and our outlook. As usual, this will be followed by a Q&A session. With this, I'll hand over to Kruno Crepulja.
Thank you, Burkhard. Good morning, everyone, and I'm glad you could join us for our Q3 earnings call this morning. It's 3 months since I last spoke to you, and the world remains a pretty uncertain place. One thing that stayed the same is that our highly focused business model is benefiting from the strong resilience and attractiveness of German residential as an asset class. Now let's turn to the highlights on page 4. The third quarter saw our business activities rebound to strong pre-COVID levels after the corona-related temporary decline in Q2. This is paving the way nicely for a return to our dynamic growth path. This positive underlying trend also persists in the fourth quarter, despite the resurgence of the corona crisis, which we are currently witnessing all over Europe and also in Germany. So far, we've seen hardly any impact from the renewed spike in infection rates and the lockdown light in Germany. The very positive demand environment for our product covers all of our sales channels, including our institutional business. Actually, we are currently very busy with regards to our institutional business, and we've either signed or we are close to signing 3 or 4 deals. This gives a key pillar for an expected strong fourth quarter. It also includes the first sale of our value home product. Nevertheless, the shutdown period in spring still had a noticeable impact on our Q3 numbers. This was due to the postponement of marketing and also the respective construction starts. However, we fully accounted for this with the release of our full year targets. After the corona-related break, we've also restarted our investments into additional future growth. Since the end of June, we've either acquired or we are in the final stages of acquiring 5 land plots with a proportionate future gross development value of around 600 million. This includes land available for our value home product as a key growth driver going forward. We've also started construction for projects, and they will be a basis for accelerated revenue growth in the months ahead. Let's have a look at our financial KPIs. Despite the sales decline due to the pandemic, our revenues only decreased slightly by -3.7%, down to 291.3 million. Our gross margin stayed at a very high level of more than 32%. This reflects the quality of our project portfolio, as well as the strong execution capabilities of our platform. Adjusted EBIT decreased to 50 million in the first 3 quarters. This was due to the postponement of revenues that I mentioned and the corresponding negative operating leverage. It was also a result of investments into our platform. This means into planned future growth and investments for our new value home product. Our tax rate in 2019 benefited from a positive one-time effect due to the first-time recognition of a tax loss carried forward, and in 2020, we see the expected return to a normalized rate. Accordingly, this resulted in an expected stronger temporary decline in the adjusted earnings after tax in the first 9 months. Coming to our outlook. Over the last couple of months, it's become increasingly obvious that fiscal year 2020 will be a transitional year for us with no real change to the sound fundamental picture. The strong underlying growth trend for our business, which has gained additional strength, will be overshadowed by the short-term distortions from the pandemic. So I'm happy to reiterate our 2020 forecast with an adjusted revenue target of 470 to 500 million and the target for adjusted earnings after tax of 30 million to 35 million. We can also confirm our 2021 growth targets. adjusted revenues of 900 million to 1 billion, and adjusted earnings after taxes of at least 90 million. Also, our plan to distribute 30% of adjusted earnings as dividends starting with fiscal year 2020 remains unchanged. On the following slide, number 5, we've given you a summary of how COVID-19 currently affects our different business areas. As I already pointed out, the situation now is completely different from the one back in March-April. At least until today, we haven't felt any major impact from the second wave of infections. On the sales side, the sales and client response ratios recently saw a very slight decrease, but remained at high levels above the long-term average. Major differentiators to the situation in spring are, there's currently no shock freeze in the market. We are now able to meet clients looking at our apartments, and potential buyers have also understood, after the development of the last few months, that it doesn't make any sense to wait for lower residential prices. The same holds true for our negotiations with institutional investors, which are progressing as planned. On our construction sites, we've had the odd case of COVID. We can't ignore this, but so far it hasn't affected our construction activities. We are doing a lot to protect the health of our employees, going well beyond the legal requirements. For instance, we've invested in air purification systems. However, we are not talking about numbers that would have an impact on our financial targets. On the approval side, there's a differentiated picture among the municipalities. Some are better prepared for the current situation than others, also with regards to digitization. However, we are currently not expecting any impact on our forecasts either. We factored in decent time buffers, but we have to keep an eye on it. If the situation gets worse, then obviously we can't rule out a potential risk to our performance. Over the last couple of months, you've become familiar with our chart that shows our sales performance on a weekly basis. Here it is on slide number 6. The chart clearly underscores that demand for our product has shown a strong and stable recovery back to pre-COVID levels. The recent rise in infections was associated with only a very minor dip, and demand remains high. As you know, we have a diversified sales mix with owner-occupiers, private buy-to-let investors, and institutional investors. One trend we have maybe seen over the last couple of months is an increasing share of buy-to-let investors. That means from high net worth individuals looking for stable returns in an environment which lacks defensive investment alternatives. Let's turn to slide 7 and have a closer look at German residential prices. Given the strong demand situation, which has been further improved by structural issues in other real estate segments such as retail and office, German residential property prices continue their upward trend. Recent market data all point in this direction, an exceptionally strong result during a recessionary year. I don't want to comment on the growth rates shown on slide 7, as they might be influenced to a certain extent by deals initiated in the past. However, we are clearly able to reach our price expectations for our projects. You also have to see that we have to find the right balance between maximizing the sales price on the one hand and sales speed on the other. We can also observe that pricing power is maybe somewhat better for condo sales than to retail investors. On the financing side, we have ultra low rates at record lows and good availability of debt for residential investors. These two factors are obviously very supportive for the demand side. Moving to our portfolio section. You know that we raised around 175 million of fresh equity in September. We made a clear commitment that the proceeds will be earmarked for a step change in growth and that the launch of our value home product would be a key driver for this. The table on slide 9 gives you a summary of the 7 land deals. 6 land deals are already signed and the remaining smallest project will be signed in the next 2 weeks. In total, these land acquisitions represent a future gross development value of nearly 800 million. This helps us to further strengthen the growth profile and includes projects with a GDV of some 200 million earmarked for Value Home. Therefore, the pipeline for our value-owned product has now increased to 5 projects. As of November, the total GDV, excluding GVs, will climb to more than 6 billion. This is a solid basis for our predicted growth in the coming years. We will further speed up our acquisition activities in the coming quarters in a still favorable market environment. We are going to invest into land in the ballpark of 300 million to up to 400 million each in 2021 and 2022. Slide 10 gives you an update of our current project portfolio as of the Q3 reporting date. Due to acquisitions, the GDV climbed to more than 5.9 billion. This is made up of 53 projects with more than 13,000 residential units. Almost 90% of the GDV is in the most attractive metropolitan areas of Germany and the remaining part in very attractive B cities. On the right-hand side, you can see a breakdown of the current development status of our portfolio. Of the 5.9 billion of GDV, around 2.4 billion is already under construction or pre-construction, and of that, 2.1 billion or nearly 90% has already been sold. This secures a high level of visibility for expected sales and earning growth in the years to come. With that, I would like to hand over to Foruha for the financials.
Thank you, Kuno, and good morning everyone from my side. Let's dive right into our Q3 results on page 12. Our 9-month revenues amount to 291 million euros. Approximately 36% of revenues are related to institutional projects. The balance is attributable to retail projects. As previously discussed, the overall revenue decline versus the previous year is related to, one, a period of depressed retail sales earlier in the year, second, a number of postponed new project sales launches, and third, a temporary hold of most of our institutional sales discussions in Q2. All of these effects are due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our gross margin for the quarter as well as for the 9 months has once again exceeded 32%, confirming the strength and resilience of our projects. For Q4, we do expect a revenue mix more geared towards institutional projects and including a higher share of projects with lower margins. As a result, we continue to expect a full-year gross profit margin exceeding 28%. Our platform costs have increased moderately by 2.6 million euro. This reflects primarily increased personnel expenses as we continue to invest into our platform to prepare for future growth. EBIT and earnings after tax are down 25 and 43% respectively. Earnings have decreased considerably given, one, lower revenues and negative operating leverage, second, increased interest expenses reflecting the financing of our growth, and third, a normalized 2020 IFRS tax rate of around 28% versus the substantially lower previous year IFRS tax rate that benefited from the first-time recognition of tax loss carry forwards. All of these numbers are in line with expectations and our previously revised guidance for the year. With Q3 revenues of 291 million euros, there's still some ground to cover to achieve our 470 to 500 million euros. However, as you can see on page 13, we have exceeding both our sales as well as our revenue targets. Identified retail project sales as well as a substantial amount of well-progressed institutional sales. With respect to our retail projects, Kruno has already discussed the ongoing strength of our retail sales ratio. Regarding our institutional projects, we expect to sign 3 to 4 binding contracts in Q4. All of these discussions are well progressed. In fact, in 2 instances, we have already signed and notarized binding contracts. For 1 additional project, we have agreed and signed a detailed LOI, whereas for the 4th project, there is an advanced draft agreement that is on track for signing and notarization before year-end. The aggregate volume of all of these sales contracts amounts to more than 150 million euros. Turning to page 14, our balance sheet benefits from our recent capital raising. With a loan-to-cost ratio of 32% and net debt to EBITDA of 2.4 times, we have ample capacity to pursue our ambitious investment targets. In fact, the strength of our balance sheet is another competitive edge when it comes to new project acquisitions. Two important points I would like to stress. One, with our recent capital raise, we have fully funded our midterm revenue target of 1.6 to 1.7 billion euros. Second, our loan-to-cost ratio is based on balance sheet data, specifically our inventories, which reflect historic cost, not fair value, making the 32% LTC look particularly prudent. Over the page, you see 9 months cash flow and liquidity. Operating cash flow is positive with 26 million euros despite lower than originally expected revenues and negative implications from the COVID-19 pandemic. We expect Q4 to generate additional positive operating cash flow from our ongoing sales as well as outstanding institutional milestone payments. Subject in particular to all our expected milestone payments materializing, we expect a positive operating cash flow for the full year at or around 100 million euros. With 240 million euros in cash and additional 109 million euros committed undrawn credit facility, our liquidity remains strong. In addition to these corporate level funds, we have 124 million euros of undrawn project level credit lines available. As a reminder, essentially all of our projects in construction are fully funded through either these project financing lines or agreed institutional milestone payments. In combination with our corporate level financing, the structure has proven extremely resilient throughout the more difficult month earlier this year. Turning to page 16, our NAV reflects the capital raise as well as our portfolio changes. Conceptually, our NAV is supposed to model the incremental NAV we would generate based on our portfolio, assuming a buy-to-hold strategy and completion of all our projects in line with budget. On a per-share basis, this calculation yields to €31.75, a substantial gap versus our current share price. Note also, this number does not include the benefits of deploying the available capital yet. Every project we acquire should be expected to result in further accretion of our NAV. Finally, page 18 summarizes our unchanged guidance for this year and next, as well as our revenue trajectory for 2022 and the medium term. I would like to confirm all our targets for 2020. Also, while we will provide more detailed forecasts for 2021 with the release of full year figures, I would like to reiterate our confidence in achieving our profit forecast for that year. In that context, it is important to stress that we clearly rely on a continued positive environment without major external shocks. With that, I would like to open the call for Q&A.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. You've received one question from Philipp Kaiser, Warburg Research. Your line is now open, sir.
Hello, everyone. Thanks a lot for the presentation. Just a couple of follow-up questions. You mentioned your solid and resilient financial structure. So it is fair to assume that there, despite the current challenging market environment, there are no covenants are at risk at the moment.
Well, on the covenant side, you know, pre the capital increase, there was no risk of us breaking our financial covenants. Considering the recent capital raise, this is not anything that we would worry about.
Okay, perfect. And then on page 14, you stated that these financial strengths is a competitive edge for acquisitions in the current environment. And this does only refer to land plot acquisitions or also potential M&A activities in the future?
So we have a clear focus, hi Philip. We have a clear focus on buying land. So of course, if there is an M&A transaction, we take a look at it closer if the portfolio is attractive, but our core strategy is clearly to buy land.
Okay, perfect. Then on page 13, the expected revenue development in Q4, how much of the expected institutional revenues come from the Westville project?
The Westville share this year is really minor. Okay. You know, I think it's going to be a low double-digit figure for the full year.
Okay. And is this included your mentioned 150 million institutional sales with our two notarized?
There is a small portion of incremental Westville sales due to a contractual terms and increased space that we were able to create, which leads to a slightly higher Westville total sales size, which is included in that number.
Ah, okay, perfect. And the five projects which were approved since June, could you shed some light on the split between core products and the value home? So if I get that right, so 200 million now is the project pipeline for the value home project.
Yeah, of the recent acquired 600 million GDV,
one third,
so approximately 200 million is related to value home.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. No further questions.
Thank you, Philip.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. We have received another question from Thomas Woodhäusler, Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Just one question on the retail sales activity. You showed this chart, and there was actually some dip recently. Just could you provide some color on the typical seasonal if there's a typical seasonal pattern here, and if you're a bit concerned maybe that there might be a negative impact most recently?
Hi, Thomas. So there is no risk that we see a downside. We overall have very, very strong numbers here. And the peak we've seen in the last weeks was related to our sales start for our Zetor project in Nuremberg, which worked really perfectly. And this is a reason why we saw a peak. So the decline is not really worrying us. We are here absolutely in line with our expectations.
Okay, thank
maybe
you.
Thomas, in terms of seasonality, I think, you know, there's the Christmas break, obviously, which will lead to a slightly reduced figure most likely. And as you can see from last year's figures included in the chart, that will potentially put us towards the low end of the range. Nothing more to add.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Pascal Boll, Stifel. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Also, a thank you from my side. I have a quick question on the value home product. Can you remind us of how many projects are currently on the construction, also in size, and how much of those are already sold, and what do you expect in 2021 and 2022?
Sure. We are currently running three projects. In addition, we acquired two, so in total five projects. For our Düsseldorf Unterbach and for our Duisburg project, we have finalized the planning process. For Düsseldorf Unterbach, we agreed to a sale already with an institutional buyer. And for Duisburg, we are currently running the sales process with very good feedback from the market. Both projects, we plan to start construction in the second quarter of 2021. And for the third, Mönchengladbach, we are currently starting to run the master planning process. So overall, we plan to acquire in the next years, year by year, approximately 500 million of gross development value in acquisition. And as mentioned, we already have acquired 200 million of GDV in this quarter, which is absolutely in line with our expectation going forward.
All right, thank you.
We haven't received further questions. I will hand back to the speakers.
Yeah, thank you for your attention. Sorry. If you have further questions, please do not hesitate to give us a call also after this call. Thank you and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.